Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Nikola Jokic won the MVP.
And rightfully so.
Yes. Right? He got 91 of the 100 votes, Rob. So, you know, that's good. I mean, the media, which is all the voters, got it right. Most of
the media. But, Chris, they get it right. You talked about this with the LeBron last year. You know, like, whatever the narrative is, where they wanted to put Julius Randle and all these other people they were talking about MVP. Come on, just stop.
I'm about to give you something that to bolster your point, Rob. So here's the order. It was Jokic 1, Joel Embiid 2nd, Steph Curry 3rd. Now, Steph had more first place votes than Embiid, but not more total points and total votes. Giannis finished 4th, Chris Paul 5th. My 5 was Jokic. It was the same 5, but the order was different.
Different.
Jokic 1, Giannis 2, Chris Paul 3, Joel Embiid 4, because he missed so many games,
right,
and Steph Curry 5. But anyway, this is going to trip you out. Derrick Rose actually received a first-place vote,
which is outrageous.
But it was from the fans. So I guess Rob G explained it. The league gives a vote to the fans.
Yeah, the league gives a cumulative fan vote. I guess you can vote on NBA.com during the
time. And then whoever has the highest
percentage and whoever gets the most votes gets the one.
And they voted for Derrick Rose.
They voted for D. Rose.
When I heard that Rose had a first place vote, with all due respect, Rose knows he shouldn't have got a vote.
Right.
When I heard he got a vote, I said, you know what? The league needs to consider taking that vote. Whoever that is that voted for Derrick Rose, because you're clearly not taking it seriously.
Right, but it's
no
surprise.
How in the world do fans vote for Derrick Rose?
Right, but Chris, this is the whole thing that we talked about before, and people don't want to hear it. The players' votes, questionable. Fans, questionable. And the media, normally, Chris, gets it right. They don't buy into the hype. They don't buy into a narrative. When LeBron had his feelings hurt last year, you remember he thought he had it in the bag. Remember how mad he was? Oh, really? Like this? It wasn't close. You said it wasn't going to be close.
Right.
All the writers that you talked to cover the league, it wasn't supposed to be close.
Right.
So my point is, you know, leave it in the hands of the objective people who are covering the game for reputable media outlets, period.
You're right, Rob, because look, and now they publicize the votes. It's embarrassing if you're a media person and you have just ridiculous votes. And so that is one thing that keeps you in line and just your integrity as a journalist.
Right, exactly.
Taking your job seriously. So you won't see any mess like that. Now, speaking of this topic, there's a big brouhaha today and it's just dominating social media. Jay Williams, who's, you know, obviously a former player, was All-American at Duke, tremendous college player.
And we played
for the Chicago Bulls and you know, had a motorcycle accident that ended his career. And then we worked with him at the other place and has done well for himself now over there at ESPN as an NBA commentator.
Morning show, right?
Yep. He's just get up and, you know, all these various shows. And has the radio show, as you said. But anyway, he was on Get Up this morning, and he dropped a story about Kevin Durant not wanting to be compared to Giannis Antetokounmpo. The implication being that he didn't think Giannis was on his level. Here's what Jay Williams said.
Can you have a quick story time with Uncle Jay?
Yes, I would love to.
So a couple years ago, we're at a holiday party, and I came on this show, and I did a segment with you, and I said we had Anthony Davis and we had Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
I said, you know what? Anthony Davis and KD would have a baby. The similarities physicality-wise would be like Giannis.
Yeah.
Right? I go to the holiday party. Kevin Durant comes up to me and says, yo, don't you ever, ever compare me to Giannis. Don't you ever compare me to Giannis. I said, KD, what are you talking about? You know, I was just talking about similarities physicality-wise, size, length. He's like, no, don't you ever compare me to Giannis.
All right, and KD didn't like it. And so, Rob G, tell us about how KD responded.
Oh, KD responded multiple times. You know how KD is on social media. First, it was on Instagram. He saw the video. He commented underneath it. Says, "This is an effing lie. Jay Williams can never," all caps, "speak for me, ever." And then a few minutes later, he went on Twitter, put something a little bit longer. He said, "Mans will do anything to advance their careers in this media game, wanting to be accepted by an industry that will dispose of you whenever they please. Keep me out all that corny ass talk about who's better and legacy and all that dumb S. I don't even talk like that."
Let me just say this, though. KD, because he took a little shot at all the media, right? Yes. KD, the NBA will dispose of you whenever they please, too.
Exactly.
Everyone will dispose of you whenever they please. So don't get it twisted.
Movie stars, Chris, yes. I don't care who you are and how big. You were the biggest movie star. When they're done with you, they're done.
Yes, so thank
this
you.
This is human nature. That had nothing to do with the business. Yeah.
How many 60-year-old MCs out there rocking the house? All
thank
right?
you.
They all, the media's no different. But so, Rob, what's your take on this?
I mean, this
is a big – we don't know which one's telling the truth, which one's lying.
When I heard it, it wasn't whether or not I believed Jay Will, like, had a conversation with KD. He didn't like –
they're actually friends.
Right.
Or were,
but
I don't know.
Chris.
Yeah, they do the boardroom together. That's KD's little show.
But I knew that this wasn't going to fly with KD. That wasn't on the record comment that I think he wanted made public.
So you think he definitely said it?
I think he said it, but Jay Will broke protocol, ethics. Chris, you, me, we've been in this business a long time. We know plenty of stuff that's not for air.
Right.
Not to be printed. Okay?
Right.
Plenty. You can't broadcast everything you hear. And just because you didn't have a tape recorder, you didn't write it down at the time when you were at a party and somebody said something, you already know it's off the record, Chris, don't you?
Absolutely. Look, you and I have been to parties together. The Jordan party, right?
Yes.
When the All-Star game was in L.A.
When me and Kyrie dapped up.
Oh. I don't know about all that. I think he gave you a head nod. He looks familiar. But we were talking to players.
Right.
Jason Tatum's there. I'm talking with him and Kyrie, as you mentioned.
You're not
There's plenty
taking
of
notes.
Players there. Right. And I'm going to go a step further out. You know, I wrote for ESPN the magazine. And when you do a magazine story, you get the greatest access. When I did magazine stories, I would spend days, sometimes more than a week with a player.
And there's no filter. They're living their lives.
Am I right? You're at their house with them and their families. You're going out to eat. You're in the car riding with them. And you're right, Rob. Like, there are times when you're sitting there with your tape recorder and it's obviously on the record and you're taping it. But
right.
There are other times when you might be eating and you're just talking and they might say something. Oh, so-and-so, you know what? Everybody thinks he's really good. He really can't play, man. No, nobody in the league respect him. And it might be a great quote, right, for a story. You'd be like, oh, my gosh, that would make my story. I would always say this to him. Is that on the record?
Right.
And 9 times out of 10, if it's something juicy like that, they're going to say no. Which is fine, because then I say, okay, because I thought, we obviously just talking. It's not on the record. But if you say something like that that's really good, I'm going to at least ask. And if you say, oh, yeah, you could say that, then you got a great quote.
Yep.
But I think you owe the athlete, when you're with them that much and you're in a social setting, you know what I mean? It's clearly not an on-the-record interview. I think you owe it to them to ask them, yo, can I run with this or not?
No doubt. And I'm telling you, I cringe when I heard it this morning. I just thought to myself, ain't no way, KD. You're in a series against Giannis. You know what I mean? Like, that's the last thing you want to do, Chris. The last thing is, like, totally disrespect the guy who's won back-to-back MVPs. You're making him like you don't have any respect for him, because that's what it sounds like. And I don't know why Jay Will really thought – Chris, that was cool. I'm surprised. I'm really am, because that ain't flattering. That ain't
no.
That's not flattering whatsoever. Series, is the series over?
Well, you know what I mean? Like, seriously. What if Giannis, I mean, look, Giannis is going to play how Giannis is going to play.
Right, but you know what I mean, right?
Like this. But yeah, if they come back and win or something like that, then this will become an even bigger story. And Rob, you talk about it a lot. Jay Will, I assume, was not trained in journalism.
Right.
Jay Will, I'm not defending him on it, but he may not know, yo, you can't just say everything you hear
right.
from a player or a coach. There are ethics in this thing. And you're right. When I saw it, I felt the same way. Like, that clearly was just an off-the-record comment
there
at
was
a
another
party,
one.
If indeed it's true.
There was another one when and I'm not saying, do you remember when Jalen said that Kawhi was going back to Toronto? Remember that? 99%.
Yeah. Yeah,
like that's not reporting, Chris.
Oh,
like,
I was like, gonna say, I thought you said were saying somebody told, like,
no,
Kawhi
no,
told
but,
him. Okay, yeah,
but right. you know what I mean, like as a reporter, like
right,
there's
no
99%. Seriously,
right.
Either he's going, Chris, or he's not. You
or
can't
you're just
leave
throwing it out, like
right.
Yes, you're hearing the scuttlebutt. Right,
you can't leave out a 1%. He left a 1% wiggle room. You don't right. have it.
Yeah,
you understand what I'm
mean,
saying?
You can, yeah, if you want to say it as, hey, this is what people are saying, this is what I'm hearing. That's one thing, but yeah, you don't. And Jalen didn't say it like it's definitive. I mean, he came close. What did he say? 99.9%.
Yeah,
is that what
but
he
that's
said?
What I'm saying. Like, yeah. but he didn't have it. Is what I'm saying to you. And
right,
you got to be
right,
careful.
Right.
You just
right.
can't be throwing out stuff. That's all I'm
right.
saying.
And like, nowadays, like, look, with reporters. I mean, I've been in this situation. Others have been in this situation.
No, but Chris,
where
but,
you're
but
on,
I get it.
You're on a show, and you know, you're talking, and you say, "Yeah, I hear this." I don't think he's going back to the Lakers or whatever. And then it comes out, it's on the internet as a report. So you're not really reporting something.
But the difference
you're just
is,
talking about
right.
what you're hearing.
But the difference is you would say, and your sources can be wrong. If Jalen says, I have some sources up there in Toronto, Chris, and they say that Kawhi is staying. Okay, your sources can be wrong. I'm just saying, right. when you hedge the bet, that's not
you're
reporting.
You're only as good as your sources.
Right? But you can't hedge it is what I'm saying. And that's
right.
that's what he did.
Right.
But anyway,
right.
Jay Will, the ethical part of this is no good. It's just the ethics. Because that wasn't an on-the-record comment. It wasn't.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let us welcome in our man. He's a former NBA veteran, NBA champion, assistant coach. And I'll say this. He is one of the most personable players I've met. He's a great dude. And we're excited to have him on. He'll be at the Utah game tonight for the Jazz versus the Clippers. Damon Jones, what's up,
Damon?
Brother? What's up, guys? How y'all
it's
doing?
Good. We are great, man. It's great to have you on.
Hey.
I'm glad to be on, man. Glad that you guys reached out and you know, you want to hear some of this basketball knowledge that I have.
Wait, you got
right.
plenty. Damon, before we get started, I told Chris I have a story about Damon Jones. And so you ready for this? So I'm covering the playoff game down in Miami, and I'm walking back to the Biscayne Bay Marriott from the arena. And I'm just walking back. And guess who pulls up in their car and drives me back to the hotel? Damon Jones. Remember that? You just saw me on the side
yeah.
of the road. He
yeah.
pulled over. He go, Rob, where you going? I said, I'm going to the hotel. Hop in. And he dropped me off.
Yeah.
Damon.
That's the kind of guy. We go way back.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you something before we get to the games, because I said this as we introduced you earlier and at the top of the hour that you would be on. I said you're close with a lot of, you know, the superstars player. I know you're close with Shaq, you're close with LeBron and others. Tell us something about those two that, you know, the average fan doesn't know. Nothing crazy, but, you know, just personality or something that, you know, might surprise people about those guys.
Well, I mean, those guys, you know, what you see is what you get. Especially, I mean, with Shaq, the personality that he has, and, you know, what he has been able to do since leaving the game of basketball is the same thing that he was doing when he was playing, and that was having fun. And it was great to be his teammate. It was only 1 year, but man, that was a great year for me as well. With LeBron, it's, you know, I mean, he's just a great guy. I mean, I don't see how, you know, people are not a big fan of his. You know, he's very personable, you know, very outgoing. And, you know, we all know what he does on the basketball court. But, you know, off the floor, he's a great guy as well.
We don't have enough time. I could give you a couple reasons, but that's another story.
See, you know, Rob. You know.
Hey, Rob, listen, we're not going to get into this today now.
But no, I said that.
No, but I'm just saying, I've been hearing and I've been listening. I don't comment a lot, but I be hearing what you be saying, Rob, and I think it's blasphemy. but look, you're my guy.
No, no doubt.
You're always going to be my guy. And regardless if you say things I don't agree with,
right,
you're still going to be my guy.
Same here, my man. Same here. Hey, yeah. We were just talking about the Nets real quick. Is this more about how good the Nets are, or is this how bad the Bucks are playing? Which, if you had to pick one of the two, obviously it's a combination you could pick out for both sides. But the way the Nets have played without Harden, without Green, is pretty amazing.
Right. Oh, man. I mean, these guys – man, I don't know. I've run out of words to explain what I've seen in the first two games of this series. Those guys are playing phenomenal basketball. They're sharing it. And, you know, it's not a situation where they're taking turns. It's just looking like it's all in the flow. So whatever Steve Nash or Mike D'Antoni are doing offensively, man, it's working. And if they could bottle up what they did at home and take it to Milwaukee, I see this series is going to end early.
One thing we're also seeing, Damon, is, and we've seen it now three straight years in the playoffs, Giannis, his lack of perimeter shooting ability, it just handicaps him in every series against a tough team. It just seems that that's the right case. Going back, you know, a few years against Toronto, last year Miami, and now this. What would you do with him, you know, if you were, you know, coaching or working with that team? Is it just a matter of getting him to work on his J, or do you have to try to find a way to get him the ball near the basket in other ways besides him posting up or just driving to the hoop?
Well, I mean, it's crazy, Chris, because, you know, Coach Budenholzer, he's a really good coach, okay? And what I don't understand is why did he change what he was doing in the Miami series to now getting to Brooklyn and reverting back to what they did the last couple of years, and that's having Giannis handle the ball out front. I think when you had Jrue Holiday doing some stuff from the point guard position and you was getting Giannis on the move, he was getting easier opportunities in that Miami series, and now – with him handling the ball out top as the point forward, with his inability to, you know, consistently make the three-point shot, Brooklyn is not guarding anybody.
Right.
I mean, they're backing way off of him, and they're able to take away the shooting threats from Milwaukee. So I think, you know, my first suggestion to Bud would be post him up.
Right.
I mean, put him on the block. Like, you don't have to start him at the three-point line. Throw it into him and then make Brooklyn, you know, if they're going to double-team him, then you're going to open up your three-point shooters. If they're going to let him play one-on-one, I like him closer to the basket you know, posting up rather than bringing the ball up the court and settling for that top of the key three pointer, because Brooklyn is going to give him that shot. And if he can make 50 to 60% of those shots, then we're going to lose. But I'm gonna go with the odds on that one.
I agree. I do too.
How about the Philly Atlanta series? I think Philly blew a golden opportunity. We didn't know if Embiid was going to play. He gets 39 points. They still lose game one at home. Can Atlanta win this series, or ultimately Philly will regroup and win this, Damon?
Man, Rob, I liked how Atlanta looked. I didn't like the end of it, to where they kind of took their foot off the gas and Philly was able to get back in the game defensively. I think what Philly is going to show you from the beginning now is the same defensive intensity that they showed in the comeback. And I just think Embiid is too strong, too much. I have Philly winning this series. I was saying in six, it might look like seven now, because I believe that Atlanta will win another game or two.
The Clippers, look, we know their history. It's been bad. They've never been past the second round. But do you think that the way they – and we know how it ended last year was terrible.
But this comeback.
And to come back from down 2-0, going on the road, do you think that that kind of exercised these demons and that, you know, whatever mental hurdles they had to get over, they now are over them? I thought Kawhi answered the challenge. I thought Ty Lue made some great adjustments.
Yep.
I think they're the best team left in the West. Where are you at on as far as them, you know, maybe exercising some demons and their chances of getting out of the West now?
Chris, I'm going to say this on you guys' radio show, and I know it's going to go worldwide and all over the place, and I'm glad for it. We have to stop talking about last year. This team is not the same team. The makeup, the head coach, the philosophy that's going forth with this team, we need to stop talking about last year and what happened in the bubble. I mean, look, they had a bad series. They were up 3-1. Denver's a good team. They came back, won a series. That's last year. That's over with. You know, let's talk about what this team has done this year. And I think that, you know, what they did in the last series in Dallas showed a lot of resiliency, being down 2-0, going on the road, winning two games, and then, you know, eventually winning game six in Dallas and then coming home and winning game seven in L.A. It's going to be a tough series. Utah's a good team. You know, they had the best record in the league for a reason. And, you know, I think the Clippers will be up for the challenge and eventually win the series. I don't know in how many games. I like Kawhi Leonard and Paul George with Ty Lue at the helm to get past Utah in this series.
All right, there it is. The great Damon. Knowledge from our man Damon Jones.
Appreciate you, bro.
Hey, thank you guys for having me on. I am available anytime to talk hoops.
All right, we will definitely get you back on, brother. We appreciate
you. Thank you.
All right, guys. Have a good
day. All right, man. Peace.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Interesting story, Rob, about Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis. There's a report from ESPN's Tim McMahon that Porzingis is frustrated. And I'm just going to read the quote. He's frustrated in Dallas. Here's the quote from McMahon. Porzingis has been frustrated, often feeling more like an afterthought than a co-star as Doncic dominates the ball and the spotlight, sources told ESPN. Porzingis frequently made thinly veiled references during his post-game media availabilities, such as saying the ball actually moved tonight after high-scoring performances, or stating that the offense didn't involve him on low-scoring nights. Let me just say this. Kristaps Porzingis, be quiet. I mean, I get it. Luka Doncic is ball dominant. And if you're a player that – I've said this about LeBron. LeBron, you know, until the last year or two, has been ball dominant. And when you are a player yourself – who's got major skills. That's why Kyrie, one reason, Rob, he was frustrated playing with LeBron, even though they won a championship, because LeBron is ball dominant. And if I can get it myself, pat it, shake somebody up, do my thing, create my own shot, it's difficult playing with somebody who always has the ball and wants to create everything for me.
Right.
Now, if I'm just a Kyle Korver,
right.
If I'm just Kyle Korver, if I'm just, you know, we think back to Allen Iverson, Aaron McKee.
Right.
I'm just all I can do is catch and shoot, post up. Yeah, rebound, defend. Then I love playing with Luka, LeBron, AI. But if I can do it on my own, I can get frustrated. But guess what? Porzingis, you ain't in that league. You don't have the right to be frustrated by Luka Doncic. Because if it wasn't for Luka Doncic, then nobody would even be thinking or talking about you. I know you got paid. I know you had a nice rep in New York with the Knicks. I know Kevin Durant called you a unicorn. That's one of the things Durant's been wrong on.
Right.
But you don't know. Because Dallas doesn't have that guy. And I think Rick Carlisle is a good enough coach, Rob, that if he got a guy like that, a Dame Lillard or some CJ McCollum, somebody who could go get their own stuff, then he would adapt. But I get it, but I don't want to hear from Porzingis.
And I think the only problem with Luka and Chris, from my trash talking Tuesday on Deadspin, I trashed the whole, you know, Luka. Stop with the Larry Bird comparisons. He had a 2-0 lead, didn't win a home game, didn't win. It's the second year in a row the Clippers have sent him home, and you could talk about all the other guys, and I get it. But in the fourth quarters, he guys clamped down on him, and then guys who haven't had the ball all game, now all of a sudden you need those guys to make plays, and it just hasn't worked out. But anyway, I'm with you. Porzingis, I get his frustration, Chris. He was the man in New York, even though they weren't really winning anything, right? And he cried his way out of New York.
And he was hurt a lot.
But, they need to do something. And if they can unload him, I mean, I would do it in a New York minute. I really would.
Here's – and look, because I'm one of those that compares Luka to Larry Bird. I've called him Luka Legend. Shannon Sharp calls him Baby Bird. And obviously, to really be legitimately compared, you know, in the future to Larry Bird, to reach that level, he's going to have to win championships.
Yep.
Obviously, right?
He's
got
the
individual numbers already, right? He's got the individual numbers. All right. Here's, though, Rob, where I won't give up the comparisons and why I won't kill Luka Doncic. And I'm going to throw out several things at you. Number one, he's 22 years old. When Larry Bird was 22 years old, he was struggling in the NCAA championship against Magic Johnson and Michigan State and Greg Kelser and guys like that. All right, so Bird, you know, Luka's done more at 22 than Bird did.
No, but Luka, let me just jump in. I'm going to let you finish. But Luka also has been playing professionally, right, since he was 15 or 16.
It was in Europe.
Okay,
they don't ball
but,
over
but
there
also,
like here.
Chris, you're up 2-0.
I get it, but.
You're up 2-0. You were good enough to win those two games in L.A., but then you lose all three at home. You just need to win one game at home. If you're that guy, win me one game at home and win a series where you lost 4 out of 5, including all three at home in game 7. All I'm saying is, if you're that guy, they need you to get some of those games, and that's the issue I have. You can talk about the comparisons, but can you win a playoff series? That's
my
all I'm
thing is nobody's that guy at 22. Nobody. Magic Johnson was winning championships at 22, but he had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in his prime.
But Chris, he was
and
up
Jamal
in the series.
Wilkes, who's a Hall of Famer, and Norm Nixon, who was an All Star. Like, you know, LeBron at 22 is the only one who's done more than Luka. He got to the finals, but he looked bad in those finals against the Spurs. They got swept. Couldn't hit a jump shot.
But I'm
so
saying.
So nobody has done – you can't point to a guy that's been that guy at 22. Larry Bird went to a team with three other Hall of Famers.
Yeah, but,
Robert Parrish, Kevin McHale, and they already had Tiny Archibald.
But Chris, his
and they
first
won a
year,
championship.
His first year, they improved 32 wins. Larry had an immediate impact.
They had Hall
impact.
Of Famers though.
But those guys had 32
Archibald
less.
Could play.
But they had 32 less wins the year before, is what I'm saying.
I'll give you that.
It wasn't like they were a playoff team and he showed up. They were a bad team.
But they had talent. I don't know what the coaches were doing. But
no, I know. But a 32 win improvement is a huge improvement.
Bird was tremendous. But also, Rob, because here's the thing, and I just got to keep it real. We hold these guys to the absolute highest standard. And the old guys, the legends, the standard bearers, they couldn't live up to the standards we hold these guys to nowadays. Check this out. Larry Bird in his first finals, we know he wasn't the MVP when they won. They beat Houston his second year in the league. Cedric Cornbread Maxwell, a good, very good, not great player. Was the MVP. Rob, Bird had an 8-point game in which he shot 3 for 11. Backed it up with another 8-point game in which he shot 3 for 11. So in back-to-back games, he shot 3 for 11 and scored 8 points in each game. And then he followed that up with a 12-point game on 5 of 16 shooting. He was money in the next game. He had 27 to close out the series. But my point is, Luka Doncic wasn't supposed, forget beating the Clippers. He wasn't supposed to take them to 7. They got Kawhi Leonard, a Hall of Famer, all-time great, who's older, more experienced, got championships, and Paul George, who very likely will be a Hall of Famer.
But wait, see, I think you're letting him off the hook when he's up 2-0. Winning 2 road games and they don't win the series.
Doesn't
Chris.
Matter. Any, he was up against was a better team.
If that was anybody else, a star player, you're calling him Larry Bird before he even wins a playoff series. That's my issue, is we like to crown these guys, but can you win a playoff series is all I'm asking. That's all.
I'm not saying he's a bum,
but stop crowning people. Can they win something?
I'm not crowning him, and I'm not saying he's already Larry Bird. You know, I've said he's got to win championships to realize or justify these comparisons. But I'm saying I think he's like a new age Larry Bird. And, you know, like I said, I get it, they were up 2-0. But the fact is up against a more talented team. He didn't have a second guy like Paul George.
But Chris,
he didn't have the talent that Kawhi Leonard had.
Okay, but I want you to come clean. Just come clean on this. When they were up 2-0, you said the series was over, that the Clippers were done.
Yes, I did.
Okay, because why did you say that despite what you're saying now with them having all this talent? The reason you said it was because Luka was so dominant, you couldn't see a way that the Clippers could come back and beat him. But they did, and that's my point, is that you were all in on Luka and what he had done after they won those first two games.
I'm still all in on Luka.
No, but I'm saying, but what would be your change? And you thought that series was over.
Well, I'll tell you what the change was.
Tell me.
Kawhi Leonard finally decided to guard Luka.
Those were the last two games. I give you that.
Right, and Luka still got his, but Kawhi, you know, made the difference in slowing him down a little bit. That was the difference. And we were all saying, why in the world? Kawhi Leonard's one of the best defenders in the league. Why isn't he guarding Luka? Well, he finally did, and it made all the difference. I mean, Luka still put 46 on him in game 7. Why are we mad at him? 46 and 14.
They lost.
Okay, but he was up against
a
better
menu.
Team.
He needed more than that. He needed to score 75 that game.
I'm supposed to kill a 22-year-old playing a better team who drops 46 and 14 in game 7. Come on, man.
He lost.
Right. If you want to crown him, then crown their ass.
That's right, Dennis Green. If you want to crown his ass, crown him.